Welcome to Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio. Living to make Jesus visible in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. We invite you to join us any Sunday for traditional worship at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. or contemporary worship at 11 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30. Everyone is welcome. There are also lots of opportunities to learn more about Jesus Christ and find ways to serve our community. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. Parking is free.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.
The Reverend Mitchell Moore.
Good morning, church. It is a joy to worship with you this morning, and I'm excited to study the Word of the Lord together. Before we study the Word of the Lord, let's turn to the Lord of the Word and ask for His blessing on our time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your finished work, and we ask that as Your people, You would help us see more fully who You are and what You've done and who You've called us to be. Lord, we thank You and praise You and ask that Your Spirit would make our hearts receptive, that You would help our eyes to see, help our ears to hear, that we might not just be inspired but truly transformed to live as Your people in the place where You've put us for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're almost to fiesta time in the city of San Antonio. The energy is in the air. We're all still a little hungover from the rodeo, but we start seeing in the trees and on people's cars and clothes, we see the pastel celebratory colors of fiesta coming to our city, and it's going to be a big one this year. It's our tricentennial, and fiesta, in case you don't know, is Spanish for what?
Party.
That's right. We're a city that likes to party. Why do we like to party? Because we can, right? Let's just have a fiesta. Well, as we head into this next series as a congregation, we're going to spend 3 weeks looking at the resurrection mission for the people of God. And let me tell you, it's a far better fiesta, a far better party than we're going to have or have ever had in the city of San Antonio. We welcome you to worship with us, and we're hoping that there's some visitors that still are with us after the Easter season. It's kind of good to be back in here as in our 11:02 service. It's been a couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we did the service at the Pearl. How many of y'all were able to be at that? It was great. Great service. We had tons of visitors for that. And then last week, our contemporary service was our sunrise service. And I'll be honest with you, I was confident that we were going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I was not so confident that we were going to celebrate the resurrection of Callan to be there as our worship leader early in the morning. But I was excited when I saw Callan. I said, "He has risen indeed." All right. And I was excited about Jesus as well. So... But we're back here as a church family, and in both services, we're looking at these three verses, and we're going to focus on really what our mission is as a congregation. Our First Presbyterian Church family, there's three things that we really want to take serious that we love. We love Jesus Christ, and we want to prioritize connecting people with Jesus. Secondly, we want to love one another well, and we want to prioritize a community that loves one another. And the third thing that we want to take very serious is our love for the city and the countries of the world, the advancement of the resurrection mission for the people of God in all of the world of God. And so this week, we're going to look and focus on the first two verses, but we're going to look at connecting people with Christ, growing in our affection for Jesus Christ and really celebrating the reality that He meets us. And so if you were with us for the Easter sunrise service, you remember we talked about the transformation of power, the dynamic power change that happens through the resurrection. And you'll remember the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, came to the tomb while it was still dark, and they came ready to continue to prepare a body. And when they got there, they realized the tomb was not full with a body to prepare, but the tomb was empty, and that there had been an earthquake, and the stone had rolled away, and the power brokers of the day, the soldiers of the most powerful army in the world, were as if they were dead men. laying on the ground, and the one who had been a dead man was alive and active. And the two Marys encountered who we called Lightning Man. And we talked about how before Marvel made it cool to celebrate comic heroes, the Bible itself had its own hero. And that was the man dressed in white that looked like lightning. And what he gave was a message, a proclamation of completed work from Christ. And this is our context. And look with me real quick down at verse 3. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled. They became like dead men. Verse 5. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I've told you." The message from Lightning Man, the angel, was one of a finished work of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the opportunity we have to connect with Christ in three different ways. That first way is that we need to listen to the way to connect to Christ. To listen to the way. Now look, many of us who come in here this morning are like the women when they went to the empty tomb. We live in a broken world with difficult things that we face. Many of us have difficult neighbors. Some of you are difficult neighbors, but that's another sermon. But we have difficult neighbors. We get difficult diagnoses from the doctors. We have difficult family members. We have difficult financial situations. We have difficult circumstances in our life. And like the women, we can come in life while it's still dark and find ourselves in despair. We can find ourselves losing hope. And despite the promises of God, we can find ourselves feeling like the brokenness and the death is just a normal part of the world. This is just how things work. Well, the resurrection message comes while it is still not yet fully light and reminds us that this is not the way things are supposed to be. And this angel, this lightning man, gives a message to the two Marys, and it's one of a finished work, but it's not one that's about them. It's one that has been about what Christ has done. It's about Christ and four other people. Did you notice that? Here's the reality. The reality is that the resurrected Christ is in the business of meeting his people in their darkest moments, in their difficult times, in their struggles, in their questions, in their fears, in their anxieties, in their doubts. The dawn of the day, light comes to the resurrected Jesus Christ. This is what he demonstrates in this Easter passage, and it's what he demonstrates day after day after day in the world that we live in. The problem is that many of us are focused on ourselves. Many of us are focused on our circumstances. Many of us are driven to despair, and we end up just looking at our own body. Why do we do that? We do it because we live in a world that trains us to focus on ourselves. A world that conditions us. We have phones. You understand this, right? We have computers in our pocket. And if you had told people 15 years ago that the number one way that they're going to sell phones in 15 years is by how good your camera is, they would have thought you were crazy. The phone was a device that was intended for communication. It was intended to connect with people. But it's turned into something where we're just taking pictures of ourselves and posting it on social media. It's turned into a self-focused device. And honestly, our culture, the majority of times our people are looking at the heavens, they're just looking back at themselves. And what is true in our social life is true also in our spiritual life. That this gift of communication with the Lord has turned into something that's about us. It's about self-focus. Let me tell you a little bit of the danger of a self-focused life. You can go on the internet. It's not funny. Don't laugh. And you can find all of the tragedies listed out of what has happened when people have taken selfies of themselves. And you can see, and you can read it, People have taken selfies while driving. And they were singing, this happened in 2 years ago, they were singing that song, "Cause I'm happy to be out in this room." I didn't watch the video, I read about it. And they hit a 14-ton recycle truck. And that was the last thing they ever said. Pictures of people taking selfies on the edge of waterfalls and falling off, recovering their bodies later. People of pictures taking them selfies of themselves in water, but not being able to swim and losing their footing and not coming back up. People taking selfies of themselves and getting shot and getting electrocuted. In some of my favorite American ones, there are people taking selfies of themselves in front of rattlesnakes. Hey, here we go. Guess what happened? The rattlesnake wasn't smiling. He was biting. Or taking a selfie in front of a bison. This will look great. And the bison coming and gourding them with his horn. See, here's the reality. Selfie, a self-focused life, it seems fun. It seems entertaining. It seems exciting. But it leads to tragedy. It leads to accidents. It leads to unintentional consequences that affect you and other people. And when we hit the darkness and the despair, the pre-dawn areas of our lives, and we're going to places expecting death, our eyes are on ourselves. But the resurrection message that comes from the lightning man is not about ourselves. And this is where we can find real freedom. The directions are about Christ. He has risen. And it's about sharing it with other people. Go and share this with your brothers. Go and share it. And Jesus is going to meet you there, is what the man says. And that's exactly how our verses start in verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb. They left. They went on their mission with fear and great joy. Where were they going? To tell the disciples. You see, the message of the way, the message of connecting with Christ is a message that takes our eyes off of ourselves, it takes our eyes off of our circumstances, and squarely puts them on the sovereign, secure work of the living God. He has risen from the grave. He has died. He will meet you. It's done. It's accomplished. Go and tell. Go and share it. And the women in this passage give us a picture of a faithful response, and they begin to go with eyes off of themselves, off of them off of their circumstances, and on the Savior. And look what happens. Look what happens in verse 9. As they listen to the way, they meet love. They're greeted by love on their way. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." You see, when we go on our way, we live in a world of cafeteria spirituality where we pick and choose what spiritual experience feels best to us, and it becomes about our circumstance, and that's another way to worship and serve ourselves and sink in our circumstances. And when we take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, hear the proclamation, the way of connecting with Christ, and focus on him, then we find ourselves encountering the living, resurrected God personally. These places where we were looking for satisfaction and looking for hope and looking security from the places of this world, we only find it in the person of Jesus Christ and his work. You know why Jesus met the Marys? Do you know why? Because he's a God of love. And you know what? He's alive. He wasn't in the grave. And because he had resurrected, and because he loved these women, he went up to them. He encountered them. He met them. Do you want to know the truth today? God loves you, and God is still alive. God still is in the business of meeting his people, and he wants to connect with you. Do you believe that this morning? Or do you believe the despair of your circumstances? Do you believe the anxieties of your heart? Do you believe the darkness of your unknown answered questions? The resurrected Jesus wants to meet us. He is alive and he is working. He's doing it all over the world. I had a great illustration from the Middle East that totally changed after our Sunday school class. We had a testimony from one of our ministry partners from Good Shepherd Ministry, and this 28-year-old girl who grew up in an atheist home from Mongolia, her name is Noman. She came to Christ outside of Mongolia. She ended up coming back to Mongolia. She met the resurrected Jesus. She went back to her family, and she said, "I've become a Christian." And her parents were like, "Okay, I don't even know what that means." There was so little Christian presence in her country and in her family. They had no category for the fact that she had become a follower of the way, a follower of Jesus Christ. And now her whole way has changed. She gives her life for the advancement and the equipping of the kingdom of God in Mongolia and the building of the church of God, creating depth to the body of Christ. God is in the business of meeting people all over the world. He is alive. Have you met the resurrected Jesus? Do you have stories of the resurrected Jesus meeting you and seeing him meet others? If we don't have those stories, here's the truth. We're not close enough to the front lines where the kingdom and the church is advancing. We're not close enough to the front lines in people's lives, people who are really wrestling with their faith, wrestling with whether or not Christianity is true. We're not close enough to the front lines where lives are really being transformed by the resurrected Jesus. If we're not encountering the resurrected Jesus with stories of the resurrected Jesus, then we're too distracted with our circumstances to encounter him personally. You want to meet the resurrected Jesus in your life personally? He's ready to meet with you. You want to see him transforming lives? Go to the front lines. I want to invite you to several frontline ministries that we have as a congregation. One of them is Loaves and Fishes. You want to see the resurrected Jesus meeting people and transforming lives? Come on the fourth Saturday of the month. Let me know if you want to sign up. Lives are being transformed. Come Monday nights to our Bible study that we're doing for our homeless and under-resourced neighbors, working with FBI. Come and see the resurrected Jesus transforming lives. Come participate in any of our ministries that are highly relational, where people are wrestling with the truths of the gospel and killing off things that are competing for loyalty with Jesus Christ, and watch lives transform. That's happening in all ages. Get closer to the front lines, because the resurrected Jesus is meeting people. And here's the truth. Just like he does with Noman in Mongolia, and just like he does through the ministries of our churches here and in this city, he uses people to do it. The resurrected Jesus came and met the Marys personally, and he wants to meet you personally, but he's drawing people to himself now through other people, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you to connect people with Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the people in your life that are marked with despair, that are walking in the dawn of the day before the sun comes up, that he wants to encounter them through you? I'll never forget the opportunity I had on a mission trip once. If you haven't been on a mission trip, you should go. One reason is it explodes your paradigms for understanding your role as a servant of Christ. And I went on this mission trip, and the guy in charge was like, "Okay, today we're going to go share the gospel." And I was like, "Great, I like to share the gospel. I'm good. I was the hey, let's build a bridge of relationship, and when the time is right, we'll cross it, you know, with the gospel." And he was like, "Well, we're just going to hang out with people for a little while, and our primary goal is just to share the gospel." It's completely different for me. It was exploding my paradigm for what it meant to just sow seed of hope. And honestly, you know what I was at first? Skeptical. I thought, this is gimmicky, but I guess the Lord can use it. Later in the day, we went to this guy's house, this village, and he had been through a lot. He had lost a son to a child, an army that kidnapped people and put them in children armies. It was a very rough part of this country that we were in, and I remember walking through the gospel with this guy. We talked to him for a little bit, heard his story, prayed for him, shared the gospel, and he looked at me, and you know what he said? He said, "How come no one has ever shared this with me before?" And I just looked at him. I had no answer. He fell to his knees, and he said, "If this is true, I want it." I'm telling you, friends, God is pleased to use his people to connect people with him. He is in the business, this resurrected king, of meeting people personally and bringing transformation. So if you're in here this morning and you've never met him, here's the invitation of this king. In Matthew 7, he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. See, when you listen to the message of the way and you hear a message of the finished work of Jesus, that he's died, that he's risen, and that he is alive, it transforms who you are. You begin to seek. You begin to go on this resurrection mission, and you find yourself really hungering. Jesus promises he's going to meet you. Jesus promises he's going to meet you. You don't believe me? Then go home, get on your knees, and say, resurrected Jesus, I need you. And he will meet you. I did it Friday because I still need to meet with resurrected Jesus. I still need to look at his scars and say they didn't win. I still need to know that that tomb is empty and that the promises of God are true. I still need to know that there's hope. And if you haven't tasted that from resurrected Jesus, taste it. He's there. But there's another category of people who have been ignoring him. People who think you can go on living your life, I'm just going to stay distracted. I'm just going to stay busy. I'm just going to make my own name great. I'm just going to go do this. Friends, he's alive and he's going to hunt you down. It's time to give up. Surrender to this king. He comes to us because he loves us. And because he loves you, he is not going to stop. You're not going to find what you need in addiction. You're not going to find what you need in the status of your performance in your work, the security of your monetary accomplishments and accumulations. You're not going to find the party that you're looking for unless you go to resurrected Jesus and hear the work that he has done for us. He is alive and he wants to meet us. And he wants to use you to introduce himself to others. And when he does, friends, let me tell you, it changes everything. It changes everything. And this is the third point. Love meets us on our way, but love also changes our way. And this just is what happens if you know anybody that's met resurrected Jesus. They're not the same. Famously from scripture, we know stories of Saul who persecuted the church. Saul, who was killing Christians, he met resurrected Jesus and everything changed. He became Paul, an apostle who built the church. No one is beyond the resurrection transformation that comes in Christ. We remember Peter. Peter was a failure, just like me. Peter was a guy that denied Christ multiple times, but he met resurrected Jesus and he moved from failure to forgiven. And he ended up being the rock on which God built his church. The first sermon at Pentecost was given by a man that before he met resurrected Jesus was a coward and denied Christ. Resurrection Jesus changes people. He's changed my life. There's people that knew me growing up that if they knew that I was preaching you today, they would laugh in your face for listening to me. But resurrected Jesus has changed me. I no longer try to use people for my own benefit and my own advance in my own kingdom, but I want to bless people with the love and the work of Jesus Christ and the life that we can have, eternal life lived now in and through him. And there's people in this congregation, in this room now, who resurrected Jesus has changed and transformed. Resurrected Jesus doesn't invite us into a religious experience. He doesn't look at just your Sunday morning schedule and say, I'm really interested in you taking an hour a week just to come and worship me. Resurrected Jesus brings total transformation to all we have, all we are, and all we do. Because our Savior, who forgives us, is also our Lord, whom we serve. And his rule is beneficial. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Look at the Marys. Look what they did. And this takes us back to the beginning. It says they departed quickly, and behold, Jesus met them. He said, greetings. And they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. You see what they did? They fell at the feet of the king. There's no greater posture of a loss of self than on your face in the dirt. There's no greater posture of humility than grabbing someone's feet in worship. But that's what resurrected Jesus does. He stopped them completely in their way, and they fell right on their face to worship. In the kingdom of economy, you want to find your life, lose it. You want to live your life, learn to die and lay it down at the feet of Christ. That's how we connect with him every day. And worship him with all you've got. Don't let your life be one that revolves around your selfie, but let it be one that revolves around the Son. There's an announcement. The work of Jesus is finished. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is alive. There's a response. He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with the world. There's an opportunity. The opportunity to meet with the risen Christ and then to share that with others. And then there's a promise that resurrection relationship leads to transformation. You will not be the same in Christ tomorrow as you are today. And what you are revering with your life, what you're worshiping, is either ruining you or restoring you. And only worship of the resurrected Jesus restores. We have an opportunity as the people of God to meet with the resurrected God at this table. God gave us the sacraments through Christ so that we can have tangible signs of his grace and his mercy. And so I want to invite you to come to meet resurrected Jesus this morning at the communion table. This table doesn't belong to First Presbyterian Church. This table belongs to Jesus Christ. And so if your faith is in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have met the resurrected King personally, and he's your Lord and Savior, then this table is for you. If you're not a Christian here today, we welcome you here and we're glad you're here, but we're going to ask you to refrain from this table. If you haven't been confirmed yet, or if you're a child, we ask that you come forward and receive a blessing. Just cross your arms. We want to pray for you. But if you are a Christian that can come to this table is not just a memorial. It's not just a reminder. Jesus is alive and he's at the right hand of the Father right now. But his word is clear. He's spiritually present in this meal. And when you come here, hear me, church, in your unrighteousness, you participate in his righteousness. In our mortality, we participate in his immortality. In our poverty, we participate in his riches. And in a world of death, we can feast on the life that comes through Jesus Christ. So please, after I pray, we'll invite the elders forward, and we're going to ask that you come up and participate in this meal together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the reality of your promises, and mostly that you've risen from the grave. We thank you that you have come and that you still come and meet us. We thank you for how you meet us in this meal. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would set apart these elements, the common and ordinary cup and bread, and that you would fill them with your spirit, that you might nourish us with your grace. Lord, we need to meet with you, and we pray that you would feed us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio, where we are living to make Jesus visible. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. If you would like to speak to a pastor for any reason, please call us at area code 210-226-0215.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.